Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. I'm minister at First Baptist Church. And we are happy at Good News in the Morning to introduce a new ministry of ours. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is going to be writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, then simply go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. That's goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And sign up to start receiving it right to your email inbox. We're expecting that God will do great things for His glory through this new ministry. Now today, I'd like to talk some more about Jonah. And we'll be looking at Jonah chapter 2. And we're going to be seeing that before God can do something through us, He first must do something in us. Let's listen first, though, to Brian Dirksen singing that beautiful classic piece, Refiner's Fire.
Purify my
me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and today we're looking at the prophet Jonah. We're looking at chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. Now, just to recap, in Jonah chapter 1, we see that this prophet of God ran from God. He thought that he could escape God's presence because he didn't like God's assignment. And I wonder if that speaks to any of us this morning. We just don't like what God is asking of us, and so we're trying to run in the opposite direction. Well, in chapter 1, we see that Jonah didn't get too far, that God brought about a storm, and that then Jonah was thrown overboard, and that then, in God's divine mercy and grace, a whale came along, or a large fish, and swallowed Jonah to save his life. Well, let's pick up that story. And we're going to see now that before God can do something through us, he must first do something in us. And let's see what God does in Jonah. We see that in verse 1 of chapter 2, that Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish. Now, what's interesting is Jonah didn't pray when he was in the belly of the boat, but now that he's in the belly of the whale, he begins to pray. And Jonah is choosing wisely because, in the words of William Law, he who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a holy and a happy life. And so Jonah prays to the Lord. And he says in verse 2, I called out to the Lord of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and God heard my voice. You see, God did indeed hear Jonah's voice. Romans 2 says that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. And in this case, God sent the whale. It was a form of kindness or grace to give Jonah a second chance. And it also led Jonah to repentance. Now, Jonah says that he cried out to God and he was delivered from Sheol. And Sheol is more literally translated as grave. And in a sense, it's a metaphor that Jonah's descent in the ocean is somewhat like one's descent to hell. And we know that Jesus Christ refers to Jonah's descent to the belly of a whale. In Matthew 12, Jesus Christ references this whole story, and he says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. A little bit of foreshadowing there, friends, to the cross. A little bit of foreshadowing that just as God brought about a whale to rescue Jonah, and that just as Jonah was 3 days at sea, so too God would rescue us through the cross after 3 days. All right, let's carry on the story. In verse 3, Jonah says, "You, God, cast me into the deep, and you, God, into the heart of the seas, cast me." What's interesting here is that Jonah realizes that it wasn't really the sailors that cast Jonah overboard. Jonah knows that it was actually God at work through the hand of the sailors. And Jonah goes on to say, "It was your waves, God, and your billows that passed over me." Jonah knows that God even controls the waves and the weather. And indeed, God even controls animals. Sometimes people say, "Oh, how could a whale come along?" But we know from the Bible that God has the ability to work with and through animals. After all, he shut the mouths of lions in the story of Daniel. He spoke through a donkey. He provides second chances all the time, and sometimes we'll use animals to that end. All right, we're going to carry on with the story. We carry on, and in verse 4, Jonah says, "I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your temple, God?" Now, what's interesting here is Jonah is an Israelite, and he still thinks that he needs to be at the temple to connect with God, that he needs to be in Israel to connect with God. So he has a somewhat restricted view of God. But that's going to change in the coming verses. God's working in Jonah, in the belly of that whale, and he's working on us. And remember that before God can do something through us, before God can do something through Jonah, he first must do something in Jonah. And we're going to learn a little bit more about what that is. But first, let's listen to that classic hymn called Love Divine. Welcome back. We're looking at the life of Jonah, and we're learning that before God can do something through us, he first must do something in us. Jonah finds himself in the belly of a whale, and in this time that he is at the bottom of the sea, at the bottom of the pit, that God is doing a work in Jonah so that he can then do a work through Jonah. Now, you may say, how is that possible? What's going on? Well, what's going on is that Jonah is being disciplined for his disobedience. Recall that in chapter 1, he ran away from God and tried to escape God. Well, God disciplined Jonah in that disobedience by sending the storm that led the sailors to throw Jonah overboard. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that Jonah is responding wisely to that discipline. He's responding the way he should, namely by crying out to God and praying to God. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about discipline, and it tells us that the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son or daughter. And so if you find yourself right now timed out by God, and by that I mean maybe you've lost something, or maybe you're in a season of waiting, and perhaps it's because you had disobeyed God, I want you to know that God's not done with you yet. And all you need to do is respond well to your discipline. Hebrews 12, verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you are not disciplined, then you are not legitimate children of God. It goes on to say, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so if you're being disciplined right now, take comfort. We serve a God of second chances, and he's preparing you for a harvest of righteousness and peace. Okay, let's look at Jonah some more. In chapter 2, verse 4, Jonah says to God, I'm driven away from your sight. How can I see your temple again? And as we mentioned a moment ago, Jonah still thinks that to interact with God, he needs to be at the holy temple. Well, let's see how Jonah changes and gets equipped for his mission. In verse 5, it says, the waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Perhaps, friends, there were weeds in the belly of that whale wrapping around Jonah's head. The story continues. Verse 6, that Jonah went down to the land whose bars closed upon him forever. And Jonah says, yet you, Lord, brought me up from the pit. You brought up my life from the pit. And friends, isn't this the most beautiful phrase? Can't that be said of us today? That once we were lost, but now we're found. Once we were blind, but now we see. Once we were in the pit, but now we have life. Jonah, in verse 7, then prays some more, and he says, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. And look at what comes next. Verse 9, Jonah says, with the voice of thanksgiving, I declare, deliverance belongs to the Lord. Friends, God is doing a work in Jonah. How so? He boldly declares deliverance or salvation belongs to the Lord. You see, before he began his journey to Tarshish, he thought salvation only belonged to the Jews. But now he's seeing that God can save anyone he wants. He can save the Ninevites if he chooses to. For God is God and we are not. And Jonah's realizing that really, he doesn't have to be in Israel to pray to God. He can pray to God in the belly of the whale. And he doesn't have to be in the holy temple to commune with God. That God is everywhere. He is in Assyria as well as in Israel. And so gradually, as Jonah sits in the belly of the whale, God refines him and prepares him for his mission and broadens his view of salvation. And so, friends, for us this morning, the question is this. How does God need to broaden our understanding of salvation? Does God need to do a work in us before he can do a work through us? If that's so, make that your prayer today. Ask him, do I have a limited view of your grace? Do I have a limited view of your salvation? God, stretch me and challenge me, and then send me to speak with someone new today. We're going to pause to listen to a beautiful song by the Cathedrals, namely, He Made a Change. And when we come back, we'll close off this show. Welcome back. Today we've been looking at the life of Jonah and the fact that before God can do something through us, he first must do something in us. And we see that in the life of Jonah, God did refine him and God did do something in him before he could do something through him. Jonah is at the belly of the whale and he cried out to God with a heartfelt prayer, and it culminated in that wonderful phrase, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's in verse 9 of chapter 2. Once Jonah declares that, look at the last verse of chapter 2. It says, then the Lord spoke to the fish, and then it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The reason that Jonah was then spit upon the land is that Jonah was ready for his assignment. He had repented to God for his disobedience. He had humbled himself to God in prayer. And he had broadened his understanding of salvation, declaring that it belongs to God and God can save anyone he wants, Jews and non-Jews alike, Israelites and Assyrians alike. And so Jonah's now ready. And so what we once had was a disobedient prophet who ran from God. Now what we have is a praying prophet running back to God. And what we're about to see in the coming chapters is a faithful prophet running with God. Friends, I want you to be encouraged this morning. If you're in the belly of a whale, just turn to God in prayer, and he will begin to do a new thing in you. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life example of Jonah. And we thank you that when he thought that all was done, that you intervened, that you sent a large fish, and that you rescued Jonah because you were not finished with him yet. And would that comfort some listener this morning? Would it comfort the listener who thinks their life is finished? And would they hear clearly from the voice of God that you are the God of second chances, and you have plans to prosper us and give us hope and a future? Lord, thank you that you're not done with us yet. And I pray, Lord, for the listener who's in a season of discipline right now, who has been timed out for whatever reason. And would they max out this season, not run from it, not regret it, but embrace it, and actually say, God, what do you want to do in me during this season of waiting, so that later down the road you can do mighty things through me? God, we just thank you that you are good and you do good 24/7. Bless each listener here this day and lead us boldly and faithfully in the days to come. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.